I'm so disappointed I didn't call it Batwang just right now. Damn it!
Batwang! Oh my god!
I just thought of that! Son of a bitch! That'd have been funny. Now I'm mad at me.
We gotta have more of these. We need to do more stuff like this.
I could do an entire episode on superhero penises. I didn't think I could before this, but now I can.
Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of Superhero Speak.
But I think many of the people that love this character and that love superheroes in general have used these stories as inspiration to say, you know what? I'm going to do something good in the world. I'm going to make a difference like my hero when I was a kid.
That is my fondest memory of it, because when you're doing comic books, you want them to affect people,
right?
You want people to care. You want to strike emotions. And I knew that Clone Saga was striking a lot of emotions.
Can you imagine Pulp Fiction starring Goofy and Mickey Mouse?
I can totally imagine that.
I'm sure somebody's written that one.
Quarter pounder with cheese in France, Mickey? Look! Boy, ale with cheese, Mickey. Yeah. I can totally
see.
I would watch the hell out of that movie.
Yes, I gladly sacrifice that my progeny to you, a mighty Marvel beast.
But Neil Adams is somewhere going, it's my time.
How do you measure success?
Hey, everyone. You are listening to the one and only Superhero Speak. And I'm your host, Dave.
What do you want? And I'm John.
And I believe I'm JD.
Hey.
JD is back this week off a special assignment.
Well, not exactly back. He's still in his car.
Oh, that's
on
true.
His way back.
I'm heading back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the commitment level I have to this.
Damn straight.
So how was everyone's week? Anyone do anything exciting? How about you, John?
Well, I went and visited my nephews in Connecticut, so there's 4 days I'll never get back. Had fun visiting them. They took orders for what they want me to pick up at New York Comic Con.
Uh-huh.
Thought a lot about New York Comic Con. We're going to New York Comic Con. Have I mentioned New York Comic Con enough? I'm not sure I have. And then I went to see my psychiatrist because after seeing Batwang, I just needed some therapy.
Good for you.
How about you, Dave?
How about me?
Yeah.
I've been very busy trying to save New York from the Sinister Six. Yes,
okay.
I got the Spider-Man game for the PS4.
I heard it was good.
It's very good. It is reminiscent of the Batman Arkham games, for anyone who's played those. And, I will say this, the combat isn't as smooth as the Batman games, but other than that, it's really good. I'm actually at like halfway through the game already, and the storyline is really good. So I highly recommend it. If you have a PlayStation 4, if you like Spider-Man, you should go out and get it.
Yeah, there's an honest game trailer on YouTube for it. That's what I saw, and apparently between that and the reviews, I might even try it at one point or another.
Well, I'm just playing it to familiarize myself with the streets of New York, because we're going to New York Comic Con, I think.
I don't think familiarizing yourself with the streets from like 15 stories up is going to help much. Unless you're planning on hang gliding around.
Yes, that's what we're doing the first night. I thought I told you that.
As your lawyer, I advise against that.
That's the same advice I got out reading his emails. I mean,
and how about you, JD?
Started novel number 5 of the year.
I mean, you're so awesome.
Thank you. I love hearing that. That's it. That's taking up the most of my time.
What's it on?
The 2-year-old takes up the rest of my time.
Children, they are wonderful. And actually, I do have a special announcement regarding New York Comic Con, because you know what, John, we're going to New York Comic Con.
I didn't know that. Where are we going again? What city?
New York.
Okay.
We're at Comic Con.
Right.
We are going to interview a lot of people there. And what we're doing this year is something very special.
We're going to do good interviews?
No, that's not going to happen. Since I'm not working the show this year, we're actually, I'm just going with you as press, which is exciting as it is. Every night when we get back to the hotel, for our Patreons, any interviews we do that day will be posted right to Patreon. Now, that doesn't mean for regular listeners, you're not going to get them. They eventually will be released in an episode. This is just for those who have decided to contribute a little bit to help the show. You'll get the interviews a little early. So something to look forward to.
Shame. How do people join this page?
Oh, well, that's a good question, JD. If you go to patreon.com/superheroespeak, you'll find our Patreon, and we only have two levels. It's $1 and $3. Most of everything is available at the $1 level. At the $3 level, you will be able to suggest topics for us to talk about on the show. Plus, we will have a bonus episode once a month for people at the $3 level. So I think that's a nice incentive. What do you think?
Sure.
See.
So yes. So that's our announcement for New York Comic Con, our special little thing for our patrons. We thank you for helping us out. So now that that's out of the way, we can talk about social media.
Yay.
We had a lot of interaction this week on social media. So before we get to the first look at Joker, because we talked about the first look at Joker, but not with the makeup, right? So we're going to get to all that in a minute. But we had to talk about that they're going, Marvel's making a Captain Britain movie. Remember that, John?
Yes.
And,
Captain Britain, and I was trying to figure out, Psylocke is his sister? That's interesting. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Okay. I've been doing research.
So.
That's a weird storyline, man. I advise not to get sucked down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, I kind of noticed when it started, like, dimension hopping and all this weird stuff, so.
Body aging.
Well, they are more liberal over in England.
So, one of the questions I post on, social media is, well, who could play him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
insert mustache joke here.
Well, Pato D. Ghostwriter said, Henry Cavill is a British guy, plays the all-American Superman. Why can't we have an American actor play Captain Britain for, blank and giggles?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, yeah, why can't we have American Superman play British Superman? Right?
I honestly think, and I could be wrong, but I think British people get more offended when Americans play British people than when...
I think because we can't do... there's not many American actors with British actors.
True.
There's so many different dialects and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, and we tend to hack them up the worse they get.
True.
More interesting.
And then the Grimm had replied, Jason Statham, ?
Statham.
So, which I had to reply, that would be as bad as Nicolas Cage. And,
nothing would be as bad as Nicolas Cage, except for Nicolas Cage in a bear suit.
Yes, yes.
With bees.
Nicolas Cage has an Oscar. Just gonna throw that out there.
Yeah, I know.
Yes. But as we've discussed on this show many times, Nicolas Cage can be hit or miss.
Oh, that's a very, very obvious hit.
Yes.
I'm just barely imagining that. He can act when...
Yes. The problem is you don't know which Nick Cage is showing up at set. Hello?
Yeah.
Did we lose JD?
JD's gone through a tunnel.
Okay.
We'll be back on the show as soon as he comes. There he is.
Hi. I've
driven. Okay, good.
So...
Traveling through the country sucks.
Yes.
Yes, it does.
So one of the other things we did talk about was, Killmonger is getting his own limited series over at Marvel. I found it fascinating because it's one of the only times I can think of that Marvel is giving one of their villains their own comic series. Problem is that there was some confusion on Twitter. People were thinking that this was going to be like a Netflix series, or a TV series like the, announced Loki and Scarlet Witch series.
Right. Yeah, which is big. But
so Raymond Urquiza, U-R-K-I-Z-A, responded with, "Killmonger don't deserve to be dead. Well, a series will be better to know him more, and if Avengers 4 is, and if Avengers 4, he lives again."
Well, he can do a hero's journey at this point. If they save him from just before he died, or, you know, he didn't actually die, he fell on a convenient Deus Machina, then, you know, he's at a point where he could start a really neat, deep hero's journey from what he's learned and what he did, and go for that redemption thing. It would be really interesting to see that.
He chose not to. That was the whole point of his character.
Right. And then, of course, and plot convenience and merchandising you're going to have to go do it anyway.
Annette's the cat thing replied with, "Honestly, I'm completely indifferent," which I thought was interesting.
Then why respond?
Exactly.
Yeah. But I'm with that. No, that's a valid viewpoint, though. I'm kind of with that, too. I could care less about it at this point. I mean, I'll watch it if they bring it out, but I'm more interested in the other Netflix stuff that they're doing, and the live action with all the individual characters now. And I mean, there's just so much.
Yeah,
but it's a comic series. It's not a lot. It's not a TV series, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
you ain't getting Michael B. Jordan to do that. First of all, second of all, Killmonger is on Feige Island. We all know there is a leaving Feige Island.
No, there is not.
Damn it.
And then we had talked about Captain Marvel. We talked about the first look where we had Brie Larson in her Nine Inch Nails t-shirt, to which the God of Cities replied, "And this is supposed to make us want to see it?"
Oh, that dude and I got into it on something on Twitter, and he came, I'm convinced, because we were bickering about something, I can't remember what. Then that guy came out and found me to make that reply.
Oh, okay.
which you replied, JD, "We don't sell the movies, we just talk about them."
Shut him up. Yeah.
To which I replied, "But we do sell t-shirts."
and we will.
By the way, that was a great way to start selling stuff. I was so respecting the ABC. Always be closing.
Now we'd be very happy to promote these for money if Marvel decided to throw some our way.
Of course, we would never.
Yes, I would also like a gold toilet seat. That's not going to happen either.
No, for that you go for Donald Trump. He'd give you one. He does have
And
one.
Then Robert C. Holsberry responded with, "Cap, you had me with the Nine Inch Nails t-shirt."
Fair enough.
She reminds me of like every girl I dated in the 90s in that picture. Leather jacket, Nine Inch Nails t-shirt, yeah.
Wow, your standards were pretty damn high. Huh.
And you're not?
I was a geek, so I didn't have much of that range. You banned people. You rockers. You were free to go after anything you wanted, apparently.
I was a child.
It was a different time.
Related to that, we also had talked about the trailer last week, but you weren't here, JD. And God of Cities replied to that, "Brie Larson, the most charisma-free actress that has ever lived. A brick has more personality. #the blonde leading the bland."
Oh, yeah, this is what I got to do with that guy. I don't know if he responded to it on this, but he did say that song.
Is she not a good actress? Because I haven't seen her in much, but I remember her
has being won a, okay. She has won an Academy Award, right? So.
Oh. Yeah, they usually don't pick boards to, you know, like, I mean, if she's as bad as Jan Michael Vincent, then fine. But if she got an Academy Award.
Wow! Then... Oh, blow the dust off that.
Yeah, well, hey.
Be careful with that joke. It's an antique.
Hey, that joke played very well with my mom a week ago.
Now I remember when I got into this. This is how I remember. That dude made the exact same comment somewhere else.
Uh-oh.
So Marvel. They should have gone with She-Hulk.
You cut off, so we didn't catch all of that.
Oh, man.
You said...
Oh, sorry. My bad. We'll edit that and pretend this didn't happen. He said that Marvel should not have gone with a derivative character like Captain Marvel, and instead should have used She-Hulk.
Wait a minute.
Derivative.
Okay.
Yes, the definition of derivative.
I was going to say for a second there, I was like, wait, something's wrong with that. I can't tell exactly what, but it'll come to me.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't at all. I like She-Hulk, but that is the definition of derivative. Her name is derived from Hulk.
Yes. I mean, it's about as derivative as you can get.
They got mad at
me. We have a woman Hulk. What are we going to call her? She-Hulk. Okay.
Yeah, that's as bad as Spider-Woman or, yeah.
Yeah, it's fortunately what comics used to do with female characters. But I just like the fact that you don't want to see a derivative character, but you want to see this other derivative character. It just left my head scratching.
Yeah.
And I she's pretty original, too. The closest. You can't even say, like, what is it? The only other character I know that's, like, has close to her power level is, like, Hyperion or something, right?
Well, I mean, like, it is derivative in the sense that the Captain Marvel character, her character derives from an origin and a property from Marvel.
Right.
Captain Marvel. So he's not wrong, but unfortunately, any super female superhero from that era is going to be. That's just what it was.
Exactly. It's,
So.
But they killed off Mar-Vell, and since that, she became a character pretty much, right?
True, I mean, but she wasn't Captain Marvel until 2012.
Okay.
But I mean, like, it's still, the comment still makes no sense when She-Hulk is literally
character. That was microcephalic adult bait territory. So.
I don't know what that means, but I like it.
So we had talked about the Joker first look we had seen.
Oh, well, wait. Before you get into that, something came to mind about Captain Marvel. I remember somebody doing a quote, I think it was one of the writers or something, that said, Captain Marvel, why does she always get back up? Because fuck you, that's why.
What?
There was a comment. I forget where I read it. It must have been like one of the weird offshoots where they do that. Like, one of the writers said, the reason why she keeps getting back up is because, screw you, that's why. Like, you know, like, this is going to be a kick-ass female character.
I get it.
Which would be nice.
Yeah, that joke just plays weird. Oh, yeah.
It was a quote. I mean, like I said, this was like, I must have seen this on, like, Washington Post or something, or ARS Technica. So, you know, it wasn't like on the hot sheets for comic book stuff, but it was a quote from one of the writers. So it sounds like the way they're writing her is she's just going to take punishment and keep coming at the bad guys. So I can't wait to see what happens.
So I didn't get to talk about the trailer last week, but all I'm going to say is watching that trailer, I kept thinking, this is what Green Lantern should have been.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
All right. So we had talked about the photos that had come out from the Joker set before the makeup test now. And Bruce McLeland said, this movie already annoys me. DC movies always annoy me.
Well, as much as I agree with that, I think we need more than like 5 seconds of him in makeup.
Because we're not talking about the makeup yet. This is just the photos.
But we got it.
We're going to talk about the makeup in a minute.
But it's still Frank.
It just goes by Frank on Twitter. I'm calling it now. This may beat Heath's portrayal. I love the look. Now I gotta see the personality.
These people are making a lot of assumptions.
Yeah. That's what Twitter's for.
Oh, this. Well, no, I thought that's what Tumblr was for. Twitter. Well, okay.
Twitter is Tumblr. Yeah, faster.
Stone Rhino, a great actor. Just wish they borrowed a bit more from the animated series than the current look. Although, honestly, if they were going to do an old man Wayne, they should have led with this in Suicide Squad, since the Joker is normally the same age or quite a bit older than Bats. So that's a good point. And then finally, Kapowcast had said, just one question from us. Who asked for this movie?
That's a good question.
Oh.
That's right.
So.
Yeah. People with the check.
So, and then one last thing we did talk about last week. Of course, we reviewed Iron Fist Season 3. And spoiler. Oh, wait. Sorry. No. I'll ignore that comment. Pam Susan Reich had said, I watched the entire series of Iron Fist back to back. A couple of days after it was released on Netflix, I love Finn Jones and want season 3 now. You have to appreciate the remark about the Disney streaming service. Haha. But I'm hoping it's not true. What did we say about the Disney streaming service? I don't remember.
I don't remember either. All I remember is off the top of my head, it's probably the only streaming service that has a snowball's chance in hell, given how much got.
That's true.
So, all right. That's all we have to talk about on Twitter. Now let's get to some news.
Do we have to?
Bring it. This is going to be a great episode.
Oh,
and we're starting,
God.
Obviously, with the DC news, since this is going to be the main topics of the evening. And we're going to start with the first look of Joaquin Phoenix in quote unquote full Joker makeup, from the makeup test. And we'll start with JD, since you seem to have a lot to say.
Allow me to say, I fucking love it.
Really?
I adore it. I love what they did. I think it's, they're doing something unique. I'm not sure what it is. I watched that trailer about 10 times because it's fast, it's quick. And it was weird. And that's what I like. It made me feel unsettled, uncomfortable, and like, it doesn't feel right, which is exactly how I felt the first time I saw Heath Ledger's. I'm excited. Like when I saw Jared Leto with his little Joker get up, that's a hip hop joke. all the rappers today have a little in front of their names. I didn't feel anything, but that's stupid. This one, I feel like they're trying something. And I felt better about it when that, the subway footage got released. Did you guys see that? And now that we see him head to toe, I'm like, it's the joke. They just made the makeup look a little bit different.
Yeah, I think we still got a ways to go.
Great.
I mean, okay.
Oh, I agree. We know nothing about this movie. Nothing. We really don't. But I like what I see so far.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, the makeup looks okay. It's different. I mean, it actually looks, given what I've seen, it looks like a mashup of the regular Joker makeup and one of the Jokers from Batman Beyond. But, I mean, it looks okay, and his smile's pretty creepy. Other than that, I've got, you really don't have anything to go on here. I mean, okay. I mean, at least you're right. It looks better than Jared Leto. I mean, that wasn't hard.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't hard.
Hey, look, here's the difference. Jared Leto looks like he's working hard to look crazy. This guy looks like his smile just portrays crazy. It makes you feel creeped out. So,
it should be. But I think that's the difference between Jared Leto and Joaquin Phoenix. Joaquin Phoenix doesn't have to do much to look crazy because he might actually be a little crazy. You know? Jared Leto's a good actor, but I legitimately believe that Joaquin Phoenix is a different dude.
Yes.
You know? I just think it's a different kind of a transition. They're clearly going for a different kind of joke. But what I'm excited about is we still don't know what kind of joke it's going to be.
So you're saying, like, Joaquin Phoenix is a little bit more method and Jared Leto was, well, just trying hard.
I don't know about that. I just think, like, remember that whole, when Joaquin, when he tried to be a rapper, when he went on David Letterman and was just being weird? Like, I just think Joaquin Phoenix is kind of a weird guy. You know? Mm-hmm. Plus, I think he might be a little method. I think there might be something to that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, definitely. I don't know. And, like, I understand every actor who portrays this character wants to do something a little different and bring their own flair to it, I guess. But I don't know. I'm not digging the look. Let's just say that. I'm not digging the makeup, but again, all we saw is him walk out of a subway car. So we don't know what it's going to be like. It might be one of these things, once it's on the screen, you'll totally forget about the look of the character and be like, yeah, that's the Joker. Or it could be a total disaster. So.
True.
I think with their current track record, and again, this is a movie that no one really asked for, they need to hit this out of the park.
Yeah. I mean, it could be like the first time on screen, he's like, yeah, creepy, like it, like the look creepy, and it opens his mouth and he sounds like Mike Tyson. So, you know.
But at the same time, though, like, Heath Ledger's voice was really weird. Like, he was doing a 70s Tom Waits impression. Like,
yeah.
I don't think anybody ever would have put that on the Joker. Heath Ledger really did his own thing with it. And so did Jared Leto. I just don't think that. One, I don't think Jared Leto really had a chance to be the Joker. And two, there was just something about it that felt inauthentic. Like, there's something about this Joker. And again, we're just purely speculating right here. There's just something that feels off and eerie. That's really all I want from the Joker. What I liked about this whole thing is that you're right. Every actor gets to put his own stamp on what the Joker is. But so does every artist and every creative team that ever puts on, that ever, like, does the character, you know? Like, Scott Snyder's face, like, face ripping, face wearing Joker was a lot different than, you know, what Denny O'Neill wrote in the 70s. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So kind of exciting in that regard is that we get something different.
All right. Well, you know, again, it comes down to, we have to wait and see, but, you know, the fact that the screen test is giving us, you know, kind of a bit of the chill up the back, that's a good sign, I guess.
Yes. And so moving on. Yeah, so again, we'll wait and see. But moving on, to add more confusion to the fire, the script has been finalized for the Margot Robbie, Jared Leto, Joker, Harley Quinn movie.
Yeah, I got nothing.
I don't want to have anything.
So hold on. Before we bash it, here's the idea. Did you guys read the article of what the idea of the story was?
I didn't want to. I'm not okay.
going to
lie.
So the movie starts out with Harley Quinn kidnapping Dr. Phil because her and Joker are having relationship problems. If that's not a script, not a script ripped out of the Batman animated series, I don't know what is.
I think you just lost us both. I'm sorry, but yeah, this that what you said before, who asked for this, that goes like triple for this.
I don't know. I think I'd rather see that story than a Joker origin story.
Go ahead, John. I'd rather not see a Joker origin story ever myself, because that the whole point of the Joker is it's creepy because nobody knows where the hell he came from, not even right. Batman.
Counterpoint.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Is I agree with you. But The Killing Joke was also an origin story. And that line is, I'm going to have an origin, I want it to be multiple choice. As long as they play homage to that, I'm okay.
Okay.
You know, as long as they kind of stay true to the spirit of, maybe this isn't real. Maybe this is not, you know, what we think it is. I'm okay.
Ooh, you know? If they do a Shyamalan twist at the end where a lot of it was just a dream and now you're left wondering what the hell was real or not, that would be perfect.
Have you noticed from all the promotional material for the Joaquin Phoenix Joker that it seems to take place in the 70s? Like from the Guess Who soundtrack to all the cars and stuff that keep showing up to the wardrobe, it's got this 70s
vibe. Oh, I thought it was supposed to take place in the 80s.
Maybe the 80s. I'm not a good car guy. They look old.
Yeah. That's the only thing I don't get either, like why it's being set in the 80s other than to keep special effects budgets down maybe somehow.
So he can go after the Wonder Woman?
Oh yeah, because you got to get old cars.
You got to get old cars, and the costume has to be like, no, that doesn't make it cheaper. They said that there is really no more continuity. Maybe they're really embracing that. They're just doing whatever,
right?
You know, I don't know. This whole thing is weird.
All right. Well, you ready to get even more sad, or not sad, confused and aroused? So.
Everyone's talking about it.
We got to talk about it. That's right. It's time for some Batwang. So, for those who don't know, we did talk about DC has their new Black Label books out, which are their prestige books. So they're standalone stories, and they're supposed to be more adult oriented. The first one came out, which is Batman Damned, and in issue number one of Batman Damned, we see the bat penis.
His damned wang.
Which has caused a giant uproar on the internet and much controversy.
I'm going to start referring to this bat penis as giant
John.
So it shall
So John,
be.
I need to know, when you finally saw it, was it everything you hoped it would be?
It depends on whether the bleach that I threw in my eyes is going to work right. You know, basically blank everything out for the rest of my life. This this is just a stunt, right? I mean, they didn't have to do that. Black Label, fine. The storyline called somewhat like, I always get the Superman battles where, you know, he's still just enough to cover his modesty. In these cases, okay, he comes out of a fire and he's naked, fine. But this the only reason for this whatsoever was just for ratings, just to sell the book. I mean, we're talking about it. Everybody's talking about it. I heard about it as soon as it came out, and you know, I saw it on theregister.co.uk for crying out loud. I mean,
so a comic book company, a crazy scheme to pull up to make a profit, did a sales study.
Wait, shocking.
Wow. Yes.
It's just so weird that, like, it's such big news. That's what gets me. Like,
big news is not a great use.
Because,
damn, you're.
I mean, for us that are comic book fans and have been collecting for a long time, we see it. It's obvious to us. Like, this is definitely a stunt.
It's obvious because it's so big.
Here's my question. So what? Like, anytime someone's bought a Zenoscope book, it was for a reason. Right? I don't mean to throw a Zenoscope in, but I mean, like, that's what they do. They do chick cheesecake.
Well, yeah. Like, so you get to the storyline, and the storyline's really good. I mean...
But, okay, so this was a storyline that I didn't read the book, but I know, you know, Brian Azzarello's a fantastic writer, and Lee Bermejo's a great artist, so I'm highly doubting it was bad.
Right.
But I mean, like, here's my thing, is like, there's so much female cheesecake to the point where there's people that get worked up if they don't get to see boobs and ass
so,
in the comics.
So
we see one,
Power
we
Girl,
see right? one male. Well, Power Girl's whole thing is look at her giant jellies.
I know.
Look at them. They have a big boob window so you can see them. And, like, that's perfectly acceptable. People get worked up if they don't get to see half-naked women in comics.
Yeah,
but we see one male penis, and everybody's all freaking out because there's a dong in a book.
Remember the Spider-Woman? Remember the Spider-Woman controversy? The pose?
Yeah, the Milo Manara thing. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, that was that was something right. Marvel did that on purpose to create controversy right. around the title to sell it.
Yep.
So
mission accomplished, DC. Another good euphemism for the battle.
I mean, the thing. Okay, so I did like I included and it is working. All right, because. It is the biggest selling comic book the past month. It's number one on like, or it's not number one, but it's in the top 10 on the New York Times best selling list. Like, it's insane. You know, like it blew up. So yes, mission accomplished.
Sorry. I just can't do it. Hey, now remember, you know, in the Bible where it says, man was molded in God's image. Well, we know that Batman was molded in Manhattan's image.
Oh, God. But, speaking of that,
sorry.
Speaking of the Bible and Bruce Wayne, this was the weirdest one. There is a genital rights group who is upset with the images. Because obviously, based on the way the penis is drawn, Batman is circumcised, and they said that that's penis mutilation.
This is where the story. We are through the looking glass now.
Yeah.
The penis mutilation, folks, which I didn't even know was a
apparently.
Thing.
I mean,
obviously they haven't read the playbook where them being outraged and going to Twitter and all their outlets to tell everybody how outraged there are is only going to promote it more.
Right. I'm disappointed I didn't get to see some crazy hashtags. Keep the hood.
Oh, hashtag keep the hood. Okay. Oh my God. This is just wrong, but
don't nip the bat.
I mean,
Just the tip.
So the thing that got me though was like, so when I saw the images, I didn't think twice about it because the majority of the men born in America who would be Batman's age in the books would be circumcised. It's just a standard practice in most hospitals. So
yes.
It's just like, why are you upset about that? It makes no sense. It's just, yeah, I'm confused.
We can do this. We can finish this.
Well, especially if you want to be, like, let's take into real consideration, he's the child of multimillionaires.
Yep.
If not billionaires. Them kids are circumcised.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, this took a turn.
Yep. And Scott Snyder is shocked by all this.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that I think was feigned shockness, you know, like.
It wasn't his book.
No.
So, man, I didn't read too much fame, did you?
It just, like, it was just a, and the thing is, it was just a simple tweet. He was just like, LOL, folks who worked with my wife at the hospital was asking about this comic book that shows Batman's junk. Had no idea it was this big a deal.
big a deal. That's the other thing. Also, another name.
Still don't get it, but hey. I mean, he worked for DC. They all knew once it got to the hospital, people talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
what else? It was like,
oh, and then the strangest thing about the whole thing which to me puts it over to the top and proves that it's a gimmick to sell the book, is that the digital version is censored, so you can only see it in the physical book, so you have to buy the physical book. And they said that they're going to remove it from all future printings as well. So that makes it unique and more desirable to collectors.
Oh, yeah, it's collector yep. now.
So, yeah, when I was a kid, there was this baseball card, Billy Ripken baseball card. They had the word F-Face written on the bat, and all future editions had this little black box on it, but if you got the one with the actual F-Face on it, it was a collector's item, and it was worth a lot of money. So, like, make them, you know, collector's items, man.
So if you get Batwang, it's a collector's
item. Controversy and bow out.
Batwang is a collector's item.
So is that it now? Instead of, like, foil covers or variants, we're going to get nudity? Yes.
I'll take it, Spider Doll.
you can get the cover with one cheek or the cover with two cheeks, which is super rare.
You know? Or you get Spider-Man with his third web shooter. Oh,
and then it'll be who's circumcised and who isn't.
Wolverine.
Oh, God. No. We're not doing another Marvel swimsuit edition. No.
I remember that.
I have one downstairs.
I can't believe you admit to that on air.
I'm already swell thinking, kind of an idiot would buy this. So,
well, thank you. Because I've got two of them.
Wait, it was the 90s. You had to buy two.
Yes.
No. There were two issues.
You were that lonely.
Did I mention the geek
thing? Oh, yeah,
thing?
Yeah, that's right. All right. Do you guys have anything else you want to add to the Batwang?
I don't know that there's... I don't know. You got
all my jokes are reactive. Oh, okay. I can't make any up. I need a straight man to play off of.
All right. Well, then let's move across the aisle to Marvel. Not a lot to talk about.
They're not nearly as
no,
fun.
No, they're not.
Speak. No.
We had said that last week there was a rumor that there wasn't going to be a Defenders Season 2. But Jeff Loeb has come out and said, nope, it's still on the docket. They're still planning to do a season two of Defenders. So, and since he is the guy in charge of Marvel TV, I would think, he knows what's going on.
Good.
And after, that good season of Iron Fist, I definitely want to see Sal.
Yeah. No, I want to see it too, because they got to finish this arc where, Iron Fist, Danny Rand becomes Danny Rand instead of the whiny man baby from the first one. And
yes,
and you know, and then you know, maybe after Defenders 2 they can do the Heroes for Hire thing,
right?
So what else we got?
We must have JD on a lone dark highway.
Need it? Yeah. Well, he probably blew out his phone after the Batman.
I'm thinking about more Batman. Oh, Bruce Wayne!
Oh, God. It just lends itself, doesn't it? It's too easy, isn't it? Oh, my God.
I can't believe they think of that earlier.
Okay. And
gives new meaning to the terms, the name Spider-Ham.
Oh.
Spider-Ham is not a bad nickname for Peter Parker's.
I know.
I think this needs to be an episode next week. name Super Dolls.
If you have a good nickname for superheroes' penis, tweet it at us with the hashtag superdogs.
Caps should be the mighty shield. The ironmonger.
Oh, man. You're on fire.
So the Eternals got a director. Chloe Zhao, who I have never heard of before.
Me neither.
Chloe Zhao. It's Zhao.
Zhao?
Oh my gosh.
Wait a minute. Are you sure?
Yes, I'm pretty
what has
sure.
What has she done?
She has done The Rider, Songs of My Brother. This is okay, not a lot. The Atlas Mountains, Benichin, Songs of My Brothers taught me. It's like and The Rider.
It's kinda right in line with what Marvel does. They like to give these young in their career directors.
Right.
A chance to do these big movies. It's I don't want to call it a Kevin Feige control thing, but it certainly does let him be the creative voice.
And she'll be the first female director for a Marvel movie.
Good. They need more of those.
Or one at this point.
Well, they need one of those. But, you know, I see what you mean. Like, looking at her IMDb, it looks like, you know, maybe a lot of, what do they call it, the Cannes Festival or whatever stuff?
Those kind of indie stuff.
Yeah, so she might be really damn good, and nobody's just seen her stuff yet because it's been all, you know, avant-garde or edge.
Yeah, so that's kind of what they do. I mean, Taika Waititi hadn't done much before Ragnarok. You know, the Russo brothers came out of TV.
Right.
Coogler did Creed, and that was pretty much it. You know, this is pretty par the course.
Yeah, cool.
Yes, and speaking of the Russo brothers, did you guys see that they majorly trolled the internet?
I did not. Explain.
So that's what I'm calling it. So they put out a picture on their Twitter, and it's a picture of Joe Russo sitting in a chair, obviously in an area that's a set for the movie, and it was just with the caption, "Look hard." And that's all it is, right? And, like, there was... In the first Infinity War, when they were at the Avengers base, there was like an engine thing that War Machine was working on the table. They never like said what it was or anything. Like, that's in the background of the picture.
What does the chair say?
No, the chair doesn't say anything. The put a caption that was just "look hard."
Also, another name for Batman's. I'm sorry.
So this has gotten the internet all abuzz on, is this them revealing the title of Avengers 4? They haven't come out and said anything one way or the other, but man, people are speculating and going crazy looking at this picture, trying to figure out what the clue is, if anything, in the picture.
The Avengers 4 movie's called Nachi?
I don't think we're going to get that title until we actually walk into that movie.
You think?
No, not really. But I mean, like, they certainly are, like, guarding this thing. Like, it's certainly made, I think the subtitle has been more basis for fan speculation than the plot, to be honest with you.
True.
Wait a minute.
Oh God! Endgame. Somebody drew on an Endgame.
I hope that's not it. That's so boring.
I know, but it actually fits the way it's.
It does, but I hope that's not it because it's so it's one of the we're gonna get a big surprise, and then it's like really disappointing.
Well, I guess we'll see.
Hold on a second. I just found an article where they're claiming it has been figured out.
Oh.
Which I did not see.
Nine Inch Nails?
Some even thought that they could find out the word, figure out the word Endgame spelled out, which has been most often speculated to be the official Avengers 4 moniker. A symbol has also been touted. Now it seems the brothers could have been merely trolling everyone. Not even the Marvel Studios co-president has any idea what the photo is alluding to, indicating that isn't hinting at the title.
Well, there's one guy who found, like, there's the word Mary written on this plywood, and next to it is Nachi, and if you do that as an anagram, it's anarchy.
Jesus, we are...
Oh, yeah. And here's somebody at Mount Waldo.
Kevin Feige has indicated earlier that the title would come some point after the Captain Marvel trailer. So...
And now they found Carmen Sandiego, too.
Louis D. Esposito, the co-president of Marvel, said... I'm looking hard, but cannot figure out what's in the photo. And the Russo brothers won't tell me. So, yes, they're trolling us, boys and girls.
Yeah.
They're having fun.
Well done, too. Well done, troll.
Nice.
So, that's really all the news that was fit to print this week. slow week. So that is why we're going to bring you another bonus interview this week. This is another one. This one, John and I both did at Wizard World Philly this year.
Awesome.
And that's Stan. How do you say his last name?
Kanop.
From Source Point Press. And,
good dudes.
Yes. And, you didn't prepare for this at all, did you, John? Do you have your notes?
I do not.
You're trying to stall as you bring your notes up.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
It was a very political answer. You rolled into that quite nicely.
Thank you. Too much political news reading. No, I did not. You know what this is about, right?
No, that's why I was hoping you had your notes.
Oh my God. Okay. While we wait, let's come up with more news for the Batwing.
I had like five of them that I held back on.
So oh, go for it, dude.
Death. No, I lost them, so I wasn't ready for them.
Oh, wow. That sucks. Here we go. WB2Trade.
Also, that sucks. Also.
Stan Konopka. Also, oh yeah. Remember, this is the guy who wanted us to call him Stan.
Yes.
Yes. That's all I've got.
that's your entire notes.
All my notes are about who it is and who to contact, dude.
What was the name of his book again?
Stan Konopka. Source Point Press. I probably have it in my stack, too.
Well, you guys are figuring this out. Source Point Press is a great indie company. They've got to do a lot of work with my friends and comics experience right now. So they've got some good stuff coming out. I like what they do.
They always have stuff coming out. Like every time we go by their stands, they're just popping new stuff left and right.
Hustlers, right? So they got a cool network out comics experience where if you're in the comics experience workshop, you can like directly pitch to them, and it's like I said, I've got four or five friends that have books coming out with them in the next year. So it's really cool. They're really on the lookout for new talent. So if there's any indie creators out there, I highly recommend trying to get on them.
So he had Rejected come out, and The Warrior Poet, and but mostly The Rejected is what he was pushing this
year.
And
The Rejected is basically the story of like a kid who gets pushed around as a nerd, not accepted, and he makes a deal right with demons, basically, and yes. Yes. The other cool thing about Stan is he is one of the coordinators for the Great Philly Comic Con, which he talks a little bit about in this interview as well.
Oh yeah, yeah, because he what was it? He was he in charge of Artist
yes.
Alley?
I think that was it.
And we talked a little bit about how hard that is to manage. Basically, you know, a bunch of winged rabid cats managing those guys.
So, since we've fluffed this enough, and I'll have to cut it short in editing, here we go.
All right. So this is John O'Grady and
Dave
from SubaruSpeak.com, and we are talking to
Stan Konopka from Source Point Press.
Also known as Stanimal, apparently.
Not by me. They call me that.
So we're here over at the Source Point Press table at the Wizard World Philly Comic Con, and you've written something? Or?
Yes, my book right here is The Rejected. I call it a psychological thriller with a horror punch. It's a story about Billy, who is beaten, abused, neglected, basically rejected by everyone, bullied in school, beaten at home. His only solace are his dreams, and in his dreams he meets the wonderful Mr. Teeth, who runs a group of ragtag shadow demons known as the Rejected. Nowhere near bad enough for hell and nowhere near good enough for her, so they kind of ride the middle with Mr. Teeth. Mr. Teeth makes this bullied, abused boy an offer for a favor when he's older. They don't need favors now. They're doing favors now. They don't need them. So, but for a favor when you're older, right now we'll be your family. We'll be the ones who love you. We'll be your protectors.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be there for you all the time. And as, you know, as a chubby red-headed kid with a mullet in the 70s, I know what it feels like to be bullied. So I would have taken that deal too, right? I mean,
Oh, hell yeah.
So he takes the deal, of course, and they do exactly what they were basically said they would do. They turn his world upside down, inside out, one way, this way, that way, and eventually he has to realize who he is, what he's done, and how deep in over his head he is. And this is one of three. Each book is a self-contained book. I don't do cliffhangers. I almost said hangovers again. I do that a lot. But yes, we're going to collect all three into a hardcover, and I will write transition pages to, you know, combine the stories together. But as of right now, they're all independent stories.
I see, because speaking as somebody who knows about bullying back then, you don't have the experience to know that you're doing something that will ultimately be like a monkey's paw situation.
Yeah, no.
And yet, yeah, you will do it no matter, even if you somebody explain it to you. Because
revenge may be sweet, but it always has a price. Sometimes all you got.
Not just the revenge, but I think a lot of kids, it's not revenge. It's just wanting to make the hurting stop.
Mm-hmm.
And they will do anything to have that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's actually, I mean, wow. It's such an interesting concept to me. Because, I mean, same thing. You know, bullied as a kid. And, like, for me, it was comic books, right? That's escapism.
Yep.
That's getting away from the real world, getting away from your own troubles. So, how much of your own experience do you draw on for the book?
Oh, my goodness, all of it. Like I said, I was a redheaded, chubby kid with freckles and a mullet in Catholic school. So,
yeah,
I am. I wore corduroy pants. I'd walk down the aisle at church. It would go, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
Yep.
By the time I get to the end of it, I was on fire. Like, what's his name? I forget the comedian who said that. But, yeah, no, it was rough. But it made me who I am. I'm not complaining. I'm not like, you know, kids now. Oh, you call me a name, man. Call me anything you want. You ain't heard me.
Right, right.
I've been called shit you've never heard of. Oh, I'm sorry. Can I curse?
Oh, yeah. Sure, go ahead.
Thank God.
Go right the fuck ahead.
That's now I don't want to.
Oh,
damn it.
Okay.
Oh, there we go.
So, and is there, without having read the book, is there possibly a message that you want to, you know, portray to people about being bullied?
That people will go to any lengths to stop it.
Yeah.
Even making deals that they don't understand. And sometimes those deals are a lot sweeter.
Bob Sally likes to dress up in little princess outfits.
So it's a cautionary tale, basically, right?
It's going to be a derivative. Don't trust the Romans, though they bring gifts, right? Is it the Romans or the Greeks?
Greeks.
One of those Greeks. People. Yeah, Greeks. Oh, yeah, the Trojan horse, right?
Greek. Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't trust Greek people.
Romans
that's basically what it means.
Cup made of lead. That, you know, so brain damage.
Hey, I'm moving to Rome and Greece.
Well, my mother's Greek, so
nice. My one friend owns a diner in Toms River, New Jersey. His name is Costa, and he's got like he tells me in Greece, the mustache is like a measure of your manhood. Like the more bold and amazing your mustache is, I'm like, and he had like this crippling, awesome book. I mean, it was great. Sorry, good diner.
All right,
good food.
So I'm going to ask it, even though we're here at the Wizard World Comic-Con, you are run Artist Alley for the Great Philly Comic-Con.
Yes, I'm the director of Artist Alley and creator relations for the Great Philadelphia Comic-Con.
So can I ask, how did that come about? Like,
I inserted myself into a situation where I saw I was needed,
okay,
and that's just basically how I roll. From there, I became good friends with the promoter, who's now more of a friend than a promoter to me.
Right.
And we've just been moving on the last, I think, 6 years, 7 years.
Yeah.
So it's been fun.
It's grown a lot. And do you guys see it still getting bigger going forward?
I see it leveling off for a minute and everybody easing into the idea that it's a bigger show. We still keep the family atmosphere.
Yes.
We still make sure that everyone is taken care of. We have the no tolerance policy. Our cosplay is not consent. You know, we make sure we cover all our bases.
Right.
Try to keep out bootlegs. Keep it legit. And it's a family-run show. It's not a corporation. It's literally one family that runs it.
Yes.
And that's it. So they're, you know, people have this notion that cons make millions of dollars. They're out of their mind. They don't make millions of dollars. They cost almost that, but they don't make that. So to watch all these promoters, and except for places like this, like Wizard World and the corporate shows, Other than that, these people are putting everything they have and more on these shows. And people, oh, I want a hotel room. I want free this. It's like, that's just more money out of the pocket. Do you want a better show or do you want, you know, a hotel room?
What kind of things, what kind of logistics are involved with what you do? I mean, you manage where the artist alley is and the how it's set up.
Well, no, who's in there. The boss sets up the floor plan where everything's at. We prefer to keep artist alley at the front door. Mm-hmm. People will filter through either artist alley or they'll walk past our headline artist guests. Mm-hmm. Then from there, they would work their way to our celebrities who are at the back along with the cosplayers. All I do, and I say all I do, but it's like 7 months of work. I sell the tables. I sell the booths. I bring in the guests, the artist alley guests. I make all the lists of who's where. I place everyone myself because I individually jury myself every single solitary application. I Google you. I NCIC you. I make sure that you are legit and able to attend our show. Within our guidelines. And I'm a pain with that, too.
I gather that also involves a lot of juggling of egos, too, sometimes.
I mean, it's the hardest part is getting people to send their bios in the right size and format. But other than that, I mean, we've grown to the point now where people want to do the show as opposed to me asking them to do the show. They're guys tell me, hey, I heard about the show. I want to do it. I'm like, that is why I do it. Because now you've heard of it. You want to come. And Philly, where we are right now, I mean, Wizard World is pretty cool, but, I mean, we could fly a drone in here and not bump a thing at this point. Right. But it's only Friday, and people just got out of work, so.
And they're under new management, so.
Deadpool 2 is also out.
Yep.
We're running into that. I should go see that.
Yeah.
I heard a spoiler. He's dressed in red. And Batman dies.
But everything did change like 2 years ago. People running it, so I guess they're at that point where they're trying to learn how to get everything to where it's.
And they're
be.
Trying to move themselves a little bit back further towards the art end of it. I think the damage was done though, and with Keystone coming in here in a month,
yeah.
I mean, Reed Pop versus Wizard World, who's going to win? Millions, hundreds of millions. Yeah.
But the Philly Comic Con, I mean, okay, I've been going for 3 years now, I think. Yeah, and every year it's been bigger, it's been better, and I think the biggest measure is there were less Power Rangers.
Yes, that's
which means they're getting pushed out. Not that I don't like Power Rangers.
We'll always have our Power Rangers. We love a set of Power Rangers in Philly, so they'll always be a proud. But we try to bring in new guys, new Power Rangers, and then this year we had Austin St. John, Karen Ashley. We had like all the original guys come in, and then last year we had a bunch of the other guys, like the Johnny Young Boshes and the David, forget his name,
Yost.
David Yost, yeah.
Yost.
Mm-hmm. And it's just fun. And we had Amy Jo Johnson, the Pink Ranger.
I remember her.
Like she came out, she left her house to come to our show, and that's hard to do. It's hard to get her out of her house, so. She came, she did the show, everybody was happy. It was neat. I'm more of a Tron guy, so when we had Bruce Boxleitner.
Oh, I got to talk to him.
Thank me too.
Much.
I tried my best, but all I could say was, hello, hello, bye-bye.
Yep.
Scarecrow, Mrs. King, peace out.
Yep. Him and his wife were there, they were awesome. When you're putting together who's going to be in the booths and all, now, we talk to a lot of artists, but we also talk to a lot of authors now.
Mm-hmm.
So are you trying to get a balance? Are you actually bringing in authors?
I actively seek writers and authors to come and do the show, and I make sure I get them before our early bird special runs out. Like, our tables are $175 until January, and then they go up.
Okay.
But I don't know how much they're going to go up this year, but I'm keeping it $175 for as long as I can.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell these guys early, I'm like, listen, it's hard for writers to make money at shows. But if you're there, you can still stand up, get readers, put your cards in their hand. And we got lucky. Bard's Tower did well at our show. Who else did? Christopher Panicia, I believe that's his last name. He's another writer. He wrote a book called Heaven's Gate. It's pretty good. My wife's reading it right now. Okay. She's like, you can't read it. I want to read it first. I'm like, okay. But yeah, we've been getting a lot more authors. And I'm a writer, so I like that. But it's hard. Like, we can't sell our works like an artist can. They hold up a picture in the air and be like, hey, I did this, and I can go, I could write the word "the" on Facebook and go, "Hey, look, starting my new book."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
25,000 more words and I'm set.
All right. Another question about the con, and I know we can move on to something else. You know, since nerd culture blew up and became pop culture, and there's so many cons now, and they're trying to get bigger and bigger, is it difficult to attract artists to come to the show? And, you know, how do you sell them, like, no, this show is different than Newsom World? Like, how do you...
My hard work and people that see me do it. Okay. I put 48.8 miles. I was just shy of my 50-mile mark I wanted to hit this year from Thursday to Sunday. That's how far I walked. And I'm not invisible. You see me in Artist Alley. I'm walking constantly. I'm covered in sweat. I'm ready to work. I'm there to be of service. I'm not there. I think Source Point Press was there selling my book, but I had no time for that because I was working.
Right.
And that's my difference. That's where the Artist Alley difference comes. And I take care of how I place you. Because I'm the one who does all the placement, too, for Artist Alley.
Okay.
So I know who does what. Because when I jury you, I write down what you sell, what you do, what you draw. And I'm not going to put a guy who specializes in a 20-foot print wall next to a guy selling $3 comics. You know what I mean? Right. You're not going to win if you're the comic guy. So I put the print wall guys sporadically around and then mix. Like, they love – I love print walls. I like when it's all night, like right over there, Amanda Cotillion. Her art is hand-done. It's beautiful, and she's an artist, and I love that. I love to be able to buy that print. But it's when you got the 40-foot wall of, like, the Deadpool and the – you know, yeah. Just their faces. You know, it's like, oh my goodness.
We don't know anybody who does that.
No.
No?
No.
I don't, listen, I don't mind it. And I love fan art.
It's not just faces, but go ahead.
Yeah, but you understand, it's like an air sucker. So yes. when we got that second room behind the wall, there's one guy, I think his name is Terry Huddleston. He has a gorgeous, enormous backdrop, and I love that he's able to do that.
Right.
So what I do is I make sure every year, like this year his wife came for him while he went to another show. I make sure that they're on that back wall so they can go crazy with their back. Like people love that. They like this. They love the spectacle. That's why they're here. They want a print of their favorite comic star or comic actor or comic character too. I mean, it's what this is for.
Yeah.
People love coming for that. And you just got to make sure you put people where they belong. And if I didn't make comics, I'd be a crafter. So I'd be in Crafter's Alley. I love building stuff. Yeah, cool. No, I can make anything. Doesn't matter. I can make it.
A flux capacitor?
Yep. Well, actually, go back in time, but I can make it. It'll look good. Okay. I mean, you could shock the shit out of yourself with it and think you're back in time.
Oh, okay, good.
I mean, I can do that if you want.
I was thinking oscillation over thruster, but that's...
I can work on that. I'm working on my gravity drive now from Event Horizon. Don't worry. When I'm done, you'll know.
Once you do that, an impossibility drive.
Oh, see, I'm told that's not possible. Waka, waka, waka. Try the veal. I'll be here all week.
All right, come on, geeks. Keep up with us.
All right. So, a little more serious now, or back to your book.
Okay.
So you said that you're going to come out with the collected edition.
The hardcover, yes.
Hardcover. Do you know when that's going to be available?
I really honestly would like to debut the book every New York Comic Con.
Okay.
So this year we're going to debut The Rejected 2. I don't know. It's just going to be The Rejected Volume 2, I guess.
Right.
Electric Boogaloo, maybe the Curse of the Electric Chainsaw. Yeah, Rejected again. But yeah, no, and then we're going to drop the next one at the following New York Comic Con. And then prior to the next big show, I would like to have them done by then, collect it all in the big one. So it's like a 3-year deal. This is in the middle of the second, or in the middle of the first to second right now.
Right.
This book came out in 2017 at New York Comic Con. Okay. But we did a special variant print run with a cover by Corey Christian Anderson. And we did that one at Motor City, and we sold out 100 copies. Wow. Sold out by early Sunday morning.
That's nice.
Yeah, I was excited. My first big book with Source Point Press, I sold out.
Yeah.
And then the next show, I was 3 shy of selling out. But, sometimes I have a cigarette, and that'll make you miss a sale. But, yeah, no, I did Garden State Comic Fest, and that's where I had my other variant cover done by Kayla Valario, who also painted all of the Seance Room.
Yes.
By Ben Goldsmith. I love those books, too. They're fantastic.
this is a problem that I've seen in software development. Yeah, I'll get there. Just trust me. Mm-hmm. So you get somebody who does actual software development, writes code, and then they start to trickle into management. And at some point, they're in management and they don't code anymore. But you, are you on that path where you're going to help more and more with the con? Or is...
Oh, the con is something I do because I love it.
Okay.
I really do.
You said 7 months, though, right?
But it's not like I'm working full time. I'm writing emails and writing contracts and, lining up the table floor. I mean, the hardest part's the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that's, when all the real hard, sweaty work comes in. But other than that, I don't sleep. So I stay up, I got maybe 2 hours, 3 hours of sleep a night max. I just write. If I were to die right now, please let me die right now. If that were to happen, then my wife has tons of stuff she can put out for years to come. It's a habit. I can't stop. All I do is write. And clean dishes for some reason. I don't know what the hell. We got magical dishes up in my house.
So the rejected isn't the only thing that you've got then.
I have so much more.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I could make them publish everything I have written, I could retire. Not because I'm rich, because I'm done. How many stories do you got in you before you start making dumb shit? That's how I look at it.
Ask Stephen King.
Hey, now.
Why, you don't like Castle Rock? Or?
So for everyone listening, where can they pick up The Rejected?
Okay. The Rejected will be at a con near you all year this year, as well as Diamond Distribution coming up in June.
Okay.
So you'll be able to grab it at your comic shop. Right now, it's sourcepointpress.com. You can pick it up through there. We're also available on Comixology, where you can go and get yourself a digital copy and then come to a show and I'll sign your tablet.
Cool. Yeah. I can't see my phone screen already because of this, the autograph.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll write it on the back.
And then, are you on the social media?
At The Words of Stan on all the social medias that us old folks know. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, and I'm on Instagrizzle.
Isn't that weird that when you say that the old, like...
Well, really, are you going to so let fast. Someone put a dog nose and dog ears on you and take a picture? No. Right? You're going to show your grandkids one day, oh, look, this is Grandpa. He got a fucking dog nose on his face and got big old bunny ears. Uh-uh. In my family, that's grounds for an ass whooping.
Oh, no, I got nothing.
You got nothing.
I agree.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It looks cute when a girl does it, but their eyes are too big.
Cool. All right.
I'm a tangent guy. I'll run on. Just give me a topic and I'll run.
Global warming.
Global warming sucks. But remember, global warming trends trigger global cooling. So the warmer the earth gets, the more warm water gets put into the salt water. Fresh water disrupts the East Atlantic Current. The East Atlantic Current stops moving. Suddenly we get an ice age.
See,
he's not incorrect.
I thought he was going to make a joke, but he gave us a science lesson, folks.
I love science. Listen, our publisher is a scientist. You can't go wrong when you're working. Listen, anyone ask me a question, I point to him. Let the scientist answer it.
Cool. All right. Well, I think, do you have any more questions, John?
No, I got nothing. But we will see you at the New York Comic Con.
Oh, yes, you will. I will be the sweaty guy shaking like this. For those of you who are listening, I was shaking like this. I'm hoping I sell out. That's like the best idea, selling out.
Sell out in the good way, not the bad way.
I sell out good way, bad way. As long as I sell out, I'm fine.
Cool. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much, guys. I really appreciated talking to you. Thank you so much. Hey, no problem. If you want someone to chase you around making funny noises, let me know.
Awesome.
All right. One of the first floor interviews we did together in a long time.
Yeah.
But we'll have a lot more of those next week.
In the New York Comic Con.
Yes. So, don't forget, boys and girls, if you haven't done so already, check out our patreon.com/superheroespeak. And if you just at the dollar level, you will get all the interviews the night after they're recorded, straight up. Again, if you're just a regular listener of the show, you will eventually get them in our coverage. But as you can see, we're just getting interviews out from Wizard World Philly this year, and we still have more to go.
Yeah. I've still got two or three more, I think.
Yeah. So All right. Well, on that note, boys and girls, as always, thanks for listening. And don't let your batwang get caught in the door. Have a good week.
I like that.
You had to do that? Really?
That should be our
Oh, my God.